What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex, and we are coming at you with a special episode with two guests that I love talking to, Editor-in-Chief of Oni Press, Sierra Han, and Oni Press President and Publisher, Hunter Goranson. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Alex.
Great to be back. Always a pleasure.
And we have a specific agenda this time. There's a specific thing I want to talk to you about, because right towards the end of the year, Oni Press dropped, I thought, one of the biggest stories of the year, certainly. I was pretty excited about it and pretty floored by it, which is that Oni is going to be licensing the Archie Comics characters, which is really cool. And there's a lot of news and a lot of things to get into. This came out through a big THR, Hollywood Reporter story, where I know you, both of you talked to them about it quite a bit. But just for our podcast listeners, to kind of set it up here, this has been... this didn't like happen overnight. This was obviously a very lengthy process. So I'd love to just sort of take it all the way back to the beginning. And how did this start? And just to clarify one thing with people, just I assume this will come up anyway, but you're not like buying Archie Comics. Archie Comics will continue. This is a license of the Archie Comics characters, right?
Yes, absolutely not. There's still an Archie Comics. They still have lots of stuff they're working on and publishing, and we will be doing... in partnership with them, some new comic book series that we'll talk about shortly, as well as a bunch of collections and hopefully some fun stuff tertiary to that.
Yeah. So yeah, let's take it back to the beginning of that. And where did this start? Hunter, you were on a phone call. I guess you have a regular phone call, the story said.
No, it's not a regular phone call, but right. Sometimes as I've, I think in my very first job interview in comics, somebody said to me, "What's the secret to working in the comic book industry?" And I said, the secret to working in the comic book industry is that the actual people who work on the business side of comics could probably all fit in a medium-sized conference room at a Ramada Inn in Paramus, New Jersey. It's a very small industry, especially on like the business side. So most of my and Sierra's immediate compatriots or equivalents at most major publishers, like, we're in regular contact with, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. We talk, we all have the same kind of concerns and issues and just interests that we like to catch up on, obviously. So I'd met John Goldwater in my travels through comics many years ago. And we were just catching up. We finally set a call and we were catching up about a year ago. And another part of, you know, sometimes it's my job as publisher to ask perhaps obvious questions. And mm-hmm. I kind of just floated the idea of like, I don't mean to be presumptuous, but would you ever be open to an arrangement like this? Like, I love these characters. I think there's a ton of potential for them. I think we could do something really exciting together. And the Archie folks had had pre-awareness of what we had recently done with our EC Comics line, which is mm-hmm. a similar initiative in many ways, very dissimilar in others. But they were excited by that idea, and we got to thinking, and it came together pretty fast, and then we hit the ground running. We've actively been working on our plans for what this would be since early summer last year. We talked to a lot of folks at San Diego Comic-Con last year who are now turned up in the announcements that you saw before you in December, so we're moving.
I have a bunch of questions off of that, but I just want to say, since it has been in the works for so long, it's kind of crazy none of this leaked, right, as far as I'm aware. I mean, what was involved in terms of keeping this, like, I imagine, a very tight circle around this news?
Well, some more insider industry info. Both me and Sierra, former comic book publicists. Mm. So myself at Valiant, Sierra was at Vertigo.
Yeah.
So we know how the sausage is made, Alex. We know where the toothpaste comes out of the tube. So we were able to successfully keep that capped off. You know what I mean?
Well, you definitely did. To jump back again then. So you kind of float the idea by John Goldwater at Archie of, hey, what if we did something like this? Sierra, then I imagine he comes back to you and mentions this idea, or maybe you knew about this before the conversation. But when did you get looped in, and what was your impression of this idea? What were kind of your first off-the-dome thoughts about this deal?
Yeah, I think Hunter initially came to both me and Spencer Simpson, who's our VP of sales and marketing, and was like, what do you guys think about this? You know, kind of threw it out there. And I think we both responded like, hell yeah, like this is a no-brainer. This is something. And I think, too, we could immediately visualize it through the Oni lens. You could visualize this through a number of different comic book publishers, but I think through the Oni lens specifically really excited me about sort of, again, the like left of center appeal, but taking something that is nostalgic, that's had such a huge cultural impact in the comic book industry and in storytelling just broadly, and filtering it through Oni seemed like a really exciting challenge and a privilege. And I think I've had the opportunity to work on a number of projects like that, be it the EC Comics license or back when I was at Boom, Slaughterhouse 5 with the Vonnegut family. It's like, some of these things feel like sacred ground. And then you go, oh, but I don't want anyone else to do this. Like, if this is out there and this opportunity exists, no, I don't want anyone else to touch this. And so I think with Archie, when Hunter brought that to us, it was like, yeah, we can do something really, really special here. And every, you know, writer that we've spoken to, the artists we've spoken to, we're all in alignment on that. Like, there's something special that we can do here with Archie, the brand, Archie, the comics publisher, through this unique Oni lens.
Well, I mean, I think to that point, the interesting thing is that you reached out to them. It wasn't like Archie was going out and, you know, having a bidding war with a bunch of publishers trying to get different takes on it. You're talking to them, so it sounds like you're able to craft that a little better, sort of what that Oni approach is, right?
Sure. We didn't have a creative idea. We didn't have a creative idea at the immediate outset, but they knew the kind of, I think, intent and prowess that we put behind both the way we try and build books and then also bring them to the world. So it's both a creative, we put forward both a creative partnership, but also like a marketing one. Like, can we get out there and actually get people excited about these books? And I was very emboldened. I personally think that this is, on a personal level, probably one of the biggest things I've ever had the opportunity to work on, just in terms of sheer raw potential and visibility. And seeing the reception in December, which I think was rounded out the year as like one of the year's biggest comic announcements, certainly emboldened me on that front. Like, we will be doing a lot in support of these books, and we have good reason to do it, because I think what the creators are cooking up so far is incredibly exciting.
This is taking a little bit of a broader view, but both of you have individually brought up the EC Comics deal before, and certainly my mind went there. I'm sure I'm going to forget a couple of things, but you've made these very careful deals throughout the past couple of years. You have the EC Comics deal, you have the Nacelle universe, you've got Flux House, which Hunter, we talked about back at New York Comic Con. So how does Archie fit into that?
That's a great question. The way I've tried to describe it is I've always thought that Oni had one of the best libraries in comics, as Sierra has alluded to, an extremely specific POV creatively, and occupied a very specific strata of like what we do best and the kind of tone and place that Oni should have. But when me and Sierra started, and we're now working together for, Sierra, it's been almost more than 3 years. Can you believe it? There were certain segments of the Oni publishing line that like we wanted to get back to. And like, when you have a publisher like this, especially an indie comics publisher, one thing I'm always looking for, and I'm sure that our compatriots and other publishers are looking for too, is like consistent lines of things. Like, not just like, we can do this really cool book, but that's a one-off. And then we have to start all over again and go find more stuff. So like, having someone like, knowing that we have two EC Comics books at Oni every month, that's like a plank. That's a part of a foundation we can build for both fans and retailers to have like an expected cadence of content that we're putting out. Having one or two Adventure Time books from Oni contributes to that. Having one or two Matt Kent books per month contributes to that. And now having a line of Archie stuff contributes to that too. So that's like a really good solid foundation that we can then build upon on top of that, if this tortured metaphor makes sense.
As you started to get a little bit into it, what How did the relationship develop with working with Archie? It sounds to me, this is from my outside perspective, that it's sort of a consultant or making sure that from their brand perspective, it's still kind of working, but otherwise free reign. But is there more to it, or am I misunderstanding entirely?
Also, let me caveat what I just said with one small asterisk.
Sure.
Which is like, also, the thing that gets me and Sierra excited about making stuff and working in comics specifically is just making cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And like above any of like the stability provided by like having a solid pub plan, which is like about as inside baseball, Mr. Publisher guy stuff as you can get when it comes to comics, is like, are we excited to do this? Like, it's going to be so much work. Like, can we maintain our enthusiasm and excitement? Do we have ideas and creators good enough to really breathe life into these things in the way that they need to be? And like with Archie, it was like green. Do we have a partner who wants to do this and is totally on board? With Archie, it was like green lights all the way. So it was like, let's effing go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sierra, would you like to answer Alex's articulate question? Sorry for caveating.
No, ask your question again.
Sure. I was just wondering about the coordination with Archie, because from my perspective, just reading about it, it seems like they're basically like, hey, this is what we think about Archie, go with God. But I imagine it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, it's definitely more of like, we consult them on everything. You know, we come to them and say, these are the writers we're excited about. This is who they are. These are the artists we're excited about. This is who they are. This is what we think they can contribute. Here's the seed of an idea. And fortunately, they're all comic book readers. They're all fans of what we're doing in this industry. So there's not a lot of hand-holding or lessons that need to be taught to say, oh, Patrick Horvath is an incredible writer. They're like, right. Yes, Patrick Horvath, what does he want to do? He can do, you know, and then you go from there and we start planting these seeds of these ideas. And so they come in and say, yes, and, or yes, but. And so that's how sort of the collaborative side of this is working. It's they're the experts, you know, like we're fans. We know this material. We can know it from the heart, if you know what I mean. It's like, mm-hmm. I have an interior relationship with these characters from growing up reading Archie. But they're the experts. They know the history and the lineage. They know the fan base better than I do. So they're going to help guide us through that and our creative teams through that. So that we're building something that feels fresh and new and exciting, but also honors like the legacy of this readership that they've built over decades. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we just did the week before, the week of the announcement in December, like we were all together. We all got together in LA and did a day long, like Archie writers retreat where everyone was bouncing ideas off of each other. And everyone from Archie was in the room while we're doing that. So we were like completely locked arms on figuring out what this new line of books is going to be. And they've been excellent and wonderful partners so far in that regard.
I mean, just a little thing off of that then, since you are working so closely with Archie, and they are going to be, I believe, still publishing their own stuff. They yes. have bi-monthly magazine things going on. Is there coordination there as well to make sure that they're not, say, releasing something the same day you're releasing something, or does that not matter?
Yeah, that in theory, I mean, we haven't like set the exact, I don't know what date Archie number one comes sure. out yet, other than that it's in September. Sierra probably does, and it's going to tell me that we do know the answer to that question as soon as we get off the phone. She certainly does. But that's like part of, that's part of like any specific licensing arrangement, is just like figuring out how to not cannibalize each other if there are things that run tertiary. So we'll figure it out. I'm not concerned about it at all. And I'm glad that like classic Riverdale Archie continues to persist and endure. And the millions of folks who grew up enamored with that stuff are still going to be able to get even more classic Riverdale. You know what I mean?
I want to talk about the specific teams in a second, but I did want to ask you about one more general thing first, that this is very much me paraphrasing you, Hunter, from the THR article. But I thought it was one thing that jumped out to me was, I believe it was John Goldwater saying that Archie is a child's view of being a teen. And I believe you saying you kind of wanted to flip it a bit for Oni, so it's an adult's view of being a teen. Why that? Why was that important?
Yeah, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think it can be both. It was either John or Mike Pellerito at Archie who said that. But I asked them very early on, like, what is your northern God, what is it? The North Star? What's your North Star? For Archie? Like, what is it? The kernel of every Archie story. And that was the answer they gave, which was, Archie is a child's idea of what being a teenager is like. And like, we all know that the audience, let's say that the audience for comics has broadened, not aged, but that like a large percentage of people who are buying, the majority of people who are buying monthly single issue comics at this point are not adolescent children. They are people who are 18 plus, or at least teenagers plus, well into their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. We got multi-generational comic book culture at this point. There's no doubt about that. And so for me, looking at the world of Riverdale, I think that still is true about the, I think the child's point is true, but I also think that, like, you know, I'm a millennial. I suspect you're a millennial too. I think we're all millennials. Look at us.
Just being millennials.
And like, our generation has with it like a certain set of like diminished expectations of what our generation was supposed to realize in the state of the world around us. And Archie and the concept of Riverdale represent a kind of American ideal or archetype that is also attractive to us psychologically. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about the clean, brightly colored, warm world of these characters that even as I say it, like, I want to go to Riverdale, you know what I mean? And I'm a 40-year-old man. So I think that there's something there. And that's kind of like what we used as the jumping off point. You'll see a lot of this, hopefully, in W. Maxwell Prince's and Fabio Moon's Archie launch book, for sure.
Well, that's a great segue, Hunter. Thank you for kicking it over to talk about the individual teams. So I would love to hear about, Sierra, I imagine you can talk to this more, but about casting these specific teams for these books, because they're really fascinating. And I say positively, not necessarily what you'd expect. So, like Hunter just said, on Archie, you've got W. Maxwell Prince and Fabio Moon, and that's coming out in September. You're welcome to talk about creative direction. I imagine it's a little far off to talk about creative direction, but just in terms of the teams, what led to that?
Yeah, I mean, this really was a Sierra Hunter jam, and us spending a lot of time in the weeds of like, who are we excited about? Who do we think has a point of view on this? I think with W. Maxwell Prince, we've both been longtime fans of his work. Obviously, Ice Cream Man is just an incredible, incredible accomplishment and a very special series. And I think we've both been trying to get Will into Oni and through different avenues and just hadn't found the thing that really landed and really clicked. And that got his creative juices really flowing in this way that you knew he was going to wake up in the morning and be like, I have to put that on the page and like really get him excited. And the moment that Archie, was presented to him, it was like the light bulb went off. You could just tell that it was like, there's so much opportunity here for me to create. And like, that's what you want to see as an editor, as a publisher, is like, okay, you're validating how special we know this is in this moment. And he has such a unique point of view and storytelling sensibility that we feel like, or I feel like he still has ground to break, both as a writer and a creative, but with this franchise in particular.
I want to ask you about Fabio Moon as well, because I think that's a fascinating choice from an artistic perspective. But the thing that I think is interesting about W. Maxwell Prince is you immediately go to the nihilism of Ice Cream Man or some of his other work like Ha Ha. But a lot of the later issues of Ice Cream Man, they're about Americana and they're about, is there a future of America? So it does feel like a very good fit to me.
Specifically, what we've talked about with Will is how joy and tragedy are two sides of the same coin. And like, Archie's not a tragedy by any stretch, and this book will not be a dark, morose meditation on the thin precariousness of human existence. You know what I mean? It is meant to be a celebration of like life, which is what kind of at its core what Archie's all about, like being a family, friends, fun. sunshine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so what I do think, what Will is so phenomenal at, and literally like for the past 5 years or so, anytime anyone's asked like, "Hey Hunter, what do you read? What's your favorite comic book?" I'm like, "Ice Cream Man." Like, I think it's a masterpiece. There's several of those single issues that I would put up against some of the best comics produced in the 21st century, certainly, is, his ability to do play with the form of comics and do like really crazy exercises in storytelling that like in a way that I don't think many creators have glanced at since, you know, the halcyon days of like Pete Grant Morrison, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, again, I don't want to spoil too much. We'll be telling you guys a lot more about where these books are headed over the course of the next month. But like, that is the W. Maxwell Prince I think you will be seeing in Archie. It's like, we're going to get pretty conceptual and fun with like what we can do within the parameters of Riverdale.
And what about Fabio Moon? Because I haven't seen his work in a while. So what brought him out? I mean, not of retirement, but what brought him out to do this book?
Yeah. Fabio's got things going on behind the scenes that I cannot share. It's not my story to tell, but it's going to be exciting when he's ready to talk about it. But Fabio and I have been longtime collaborators, friends. We started working together at Dark Horse when he and Gabrielle were publishing Details there. His brother was working on the Umbrella Academy. So we have a long, long history and check in with each other regularly. And so I think it was just an inspired idea of like, who is someone I trust who is a brilliant illustrator and storytelling in his own right, someone that W. Maxwell Prince would be excited to collaborate with, again, bringing a new sensibility to the Archie world. And it was just like Fabio, after months of mulling this over, I was like, oh, this is the obvious choice. And I came to Hunter and I was like, Fabio? And he's like, yes, now let's go. And he happened to have some space in his schedule at the exact time that we needed it. So we've just leapt at the opportunity. But that's definitely one of those relationships that I've just had for such a long time. And we could find another opportunity to collaborate and have fun together.
Yeah. Next up in October, you have Sabrina the Teenage Witch from Karina Becco and Kino. Same sort of question. What led to putting together this team? Are they the right team for Sabrina?
Both of them are two of my favorite collaborators on the EC Comics line, actually. So Kano's someone that Hunter had worked with for a long time, and he had suggested him for EC. And I was like, how have I missed this incredible illustrator's work all this time? He's truly become one of my favorite artists, just visually, narratively, just as a person to communicate with every single day. A wonderful, wonderful human. And similarly with Karina.
And Sabrina's his favorite character of all time. Mm.
Yeah, no, which just going in and being like, what do you think of this? And going, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this opportunity. I've been waiting to be able to draw this amazing, magical girl. Like, are you kidding me? Like, let's go. And then Karina, we worked on EC, but we did the Blood Type EC series mm-hmm. together as well. And so sometimes when you're exploring these new opportunities, it's about the people you trust that you know you can really get in the weeds with and collaborate beautifully with. And those are two people that I know we can do that, who both just, again, are huge fans of Sabrina. And it really felt like, and I know this is so cheesy, but magic bringing the two of them together because of how they've responded. And that it was just like, oh, my career has been waiting for me to get to this moment where I'd be invited to write or draw Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
And the third one, which I feel like was the biggest swerve in terms of at least title-wise, the announcement, in November, you've got Archie and Hell coming from Patrick Horvath and Tyler Crook, which is an awesome team. But to kind of flip it around a little bit, again, I'm sure you can't talk about the exact concept, but it feels like a no-brainer to be like, oh, we're launching with an Archie book. And then, oh, we're launching, hitting you with a Sabrina book. Archie and Hell very much comes out of left field. So where did that come from, and how did this team come together?
I think the from the outset, we had a totally blank canvas at the outset of this idea, right? Which is like, we want to publish a new slate of Archie Limited, of Archie ongoing series. Like, what should the characters be? Like, obviously, I think most people would be like, you're going to publish Archie, but then the catalog is so wide and vast that, like, we could have easily done Jughead, or we could have done Betty and Veronica, or Kevin Keller, or any number of things. And the interesting thing about working on characters that have such a long legacy, and there's really only a few, you're really talking about like the Marvel characters and the DC characters that go all the way back to the 40s, is like every time there's a new incarnation of them, whether it's in comics or media or some other derivation of them, it's like permission to incorporate what came before. So like, obviously the existence, the debut of Afterlife with Archie almost 15 years ago, like completely changed people's expectations of what you could do with Archie characters. You know what I mean? And God, what a brilliant comic. And then similarly, like the existence of Riverdale, which has like, I think many awesome show and has like many surprising, challenging things that it did with the universe of the Archie characters within it. We said to ourselves, like, all of this stuff is now like incorporated into Archie in some way. We have to do something with like that darker outer perimeter of Archie in this line. You know what I mean? And that is where we got to talking with first Patrick and then Tyler about what that idea should be. And I do not want to spoil the idea, but it rocks. And it has, let's just say it's an ongoing book. And you will get to see many great eras of Riverdale within it. But I'm very, very excited about this book. Sierra, don't let me spoil anything else.
Yeah, no, no, you're cut off from there.
I just wanted to ask one further question about that team, though. This is no shade to Tyler Crook's art, because I love his stuff, and it feels like a great fit for this. But you kind of expect Patrick Horvath to write and draw stuff just based on Beneath the Trees, yeah, Free for All, etc. Was there any talk of that, having him both write and draw it, and it didn't work out? Or was that never
on the table? No, our relationship with Patrick began to be published. I've got to know him through, we published a book called Free for All, which was a one shot that he had put together before Beneath the Trees, but had never like formally published, that we put out last year, did phenomenally well. Fortunate enough to have him do some covers and whatnot, but obviously hugely appreciative of Patrick's talents. So we just got to talking with him. He can only draw so much so fast. You know what I mean? He's very well committed to doing Beneath the Trees into the future, from what I understand. So was like, I can only write, but like, I would love to do this. And I also think Patrick is a phenomenal writer in his own right. Like, pairing him with someone like Tyler, I think is going to be comic book. I don't know. Sierra, choose a word. Comic book dynamite. Comic book dynamite. Here we go.
Excellent. You had mentioned The Retreat, and I did want to briefly ask you about that. Is there going to be coordination between the titles, or are they very much their own things and just kind of wanted to check in and have everybody in the same place? Oh, okay.
Do you want me to try and answer this? I don't know. Yeah. Now you're going to tell me to stop talking. Yeah, I think we've already said too much.
Already said too much, Alex.
All right, fair enough. I'll check back in a year, I guess, about that one.
Yeah.
When I posted this announcement on the Comic Book Club site, I did, as I often do, go to Reddit and threw it on there. And I was like, hey, this is cool. I'm really excited about these teams. Almost immediately, all of the commenters on Reddit did not focus, nothing against the announcements we just talked about, but did not focus on the teams. They immediately honed in on collections specifically. And they're like, oh man, I hope you put together the Kelly Thompson stuff to demand. Somebody demanded, I wrote this down, a 7-volume Bronze Age Jughead series collection. So clearly people are very excited about that part, that you are going to be collecting some of the old stuff as well. What can we expect from that for these very hungry Reddit fans?
I'm like, first of all, thank you for putting that together so that we could mine some information from the fan base.
Oh my God. It goes on and on. I thought about talking, like reading off everything, but at a certain point I was like, I can't.
Alex, this is too many. I'm going to say this, which is, I know exactly what Reddit post you're talking about because I screenshotted it and then brought it up in a meeting. So we are aware. And we are working through it. We will announce the first initial slate of collections that we're doing within the next 4 weeks or so, four or five weeks. You'll know by mid-February the initial slate of books we're putting out, but we'll be doing, you know, a pretty decent clip of collections, I think, over the course of the first year.
Yeah. And then I will say the thing that I'm excited about all of this, but the thing that I was most intrigued by, which is probably the vaguest because I don't think it's coming out until 2027, is you're also going to be doing middle grade and YA books, which, not to use the same term I used earlier, almost seems like a no-brainer, and it's crazy that that hasn't come out through Archie before. Was that sort of the thought process there? Like, of course we need to do this?
Yeah, I mean, yes, of course we need to do this. It's such a huge opportunity. We also have this phenomenal editor, senior editor Grace Scheipeter, who runs our middle grade and YA graphic novel line. She is a force of nature in the industry, and being able to go to her and say, we have this license, we have this opportunity, what would you want to do with it? And what she has proposed is brilliant and exciting, and we are very early days on that still. But yeah, it just, if you look around and you see where people are succeeding in this industry for that audience and age group, it's like we are perfectly set up to sort of incept to be in there, be in the conversation, and you want to keep bringing the readership up with you. You want them to grow with you, and there's no better license to do that than the Archie license. You know, that's where I started my comic book reading relationship, was on the newsstand with a young Archie books. So
this is, I mean, on that note, this is very much tilting at windmills. It's something that I don't think we're going to go back to. But like you said, I think most people's first experience with Archie comics is a digest that you randomly picked up in a supermarket or anything like that. So getting back to what you were saying earlier, Hunter, about marketing, what are there thoughts there about different avenues to get these Archie comics into versus just comic book stores, bookstores, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the logic behind having like these different, I guess, they're not channels, but like these different formats conceived of what we're doing with Archie from the outset. Like, I've always thought that this pretty inspired, I think, hopefully, Pat Self on back, Pat Sierra on back, hopefully pretty inspired line of new single issue monthly comics would capture a lot of attention. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they rightly have. But I do think the potential to reach the widest possible readership with these characters is through like teenagers and children who've primarily been their primary audience for the better part of 80 years. You know what I mean? So that line of YA books that Sierra and Grace are beginning to put together, and middle grade books, I should say, does really have the potential. Like, there's going to be some pretty cool bold face names involved with that. And Sierra alluded to it, but there's one of the best ideas I've ever heard in the past 5 years of what one of those will be. And I'm very excited by it. In terms of like different channels and distribution, I think this is like one of the themes, not just for Archie, but like for the entire comic book business broadly going forward, is like, how do you find readers? Like, where are the places that we can find readers who want to pick up our books and read them? I'm a huge fan of comic book stores. Obviously they are the centerpiece of everything we do at Me. But bookstores, obviously the book market has become increasingly magnified and important over the course of the past 25, 30 years. I'm reasonably confident that there's going to be some other shifts in that regard. So we're always down for being experimental. You've seen Oni do some experiments. I can't specifically say that that's going to involve Archie in the immediate future, but something we're thinking and talking about all the time.
Yeah. May I throw out there, this is an idea just off the top
sure.
of head, blind bags. Have you guys thought about those? Those seem to be working pretty well.
I am working on a different blind bag concept right now that will hopefully be like the ultimate deconstruction of the blind bag. So we're not big fans. I'd say everything we do at Oni, we're not big fans of doing things just to do them and like overt commerciality. Like, at the center of what we do is obviously like, we don't make comic books on an assembly line. Like, this is an art form, and doing fun stuff like blind bags, it can be done in a way that as long as we're doing it in service of an awesome book and an awesome story at the core of it, and we can make that like an additive experience on top of what the book is. Like, I think they did a fantastic job with Invincible Battle Beast. You know what I mean? Like, they made that like a whole celebration of Invincible, and it was super fun. So I think there's ways to do it, and it's not for Archie yet, but I have some secret stuff we'll be rolling out very soon for Oni.
Well, awesome. This all sounds fantastic. Just to kind of review, so the collections, we don't know exactly when they're going to be coming out. Is it going to be 2026 or?
Yeah, no, collections will start to come out simultaneously with the books. The goal is to have retailers be able to hand people Archie collections when Archie number one is on stands, if they want to know more about these characters. So there will be Archie hardcovers. I don't want to say too much, but there'll be a selection of Archie backlist material and new collections from Oni available starting in September, shortly before Archie number one was on sale.
Yeah. And then, like we said, the YA and middle grade books sometime in 2027. So certainly this is going to be continuing for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hunter, Sierra, thank you so much for chatting. Really looking forward to all of these. Really looking forward to finally discovering what all these secrets you're keeping from me are. But I guess time will tell.
Another time, Alex. We'll be back.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, Alex.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.